we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Amen. And if you're blessed to have your father alive, amen, you better spend some time with him today. You can't get to him FaceTime, or what does Google do? What do they do? Maybe he can send you a FaceTime link. But but talk to him some kind of way, y'all. This is, don't let the world take away the meaning of today. This is a day you, but you know, it's a build up to today though. Like, you can't just call him today and you ain't talked to him in months. Dad, I'm just checking on you. Really? And folks be going crazy when they don't get the response they want from their father, but you're not taking into account what you've been doing. Every time I talk to him, he this, he that. Well, have you submitted to him as an authority? Have you spent time with him and requested his time? He's my father. I shouldn't have to request it. Yeah, you should. You better know how, his personality. If that's the way he is, you better get it. Because when he's gone, you can't. And your kids are watching you. So what you expect, you better show. All right, that's it. Let me get into the message. I'm going to talk about all of that. AdamandBeliever.com/bless me. Oh, bless me, Father. Amen. I was going to use bless me, Father, for I have sinned. But somebody would have felt a little uncomfortable with that. Amen. Not talking to a priest, talking to your father. Amen. Because a lot of people need to repent to their fathers. Look at that. No, he need to come to me. Your father don't ever need to come to you. You need to go to him. You know why he don't ever need to come to you? Because you the one in here that got enlightened. You came here to get smarter. You came here to get a better understanding. Am I telling the truth? Is that why you came? You came here to learn. So there's no way you can come here and get that and then expect him to know it. You came to get it. So if you came to get it, you have to exercise it. Show your right. Yeah. If you've been grumpy and tripping for years toward him and not giving him the time he deserves and all of that, then you all of a sudden get an epiphany that you need him in your life and you go to him and then you mad because he reacts a certain way. He's reacting a certain way because of the way you've been. He can't read your heart. I'm talking to somebody in here. I don't normally say that. That's that old, you know, the prophets be saying that, but I know I'm talking to somebody. Yeah. Yeah, so you just, man, make it. Look at somebody and say, make it right. Make it right. Make it right. I trade you. My father's not here. I'll take him just like he is. Give him to me. If I could, I'd rather have him just like that than not here. Amen, Eddie. Amen, Elder. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I trade places with you and watch how I act toward him. Amen. Amen. But see, the problem is, and we're going to get into it in this message, but the problem isn't really always the father, and it's not always you. A lot of times, Jezebel is working. Jezebel don't like a strong man. Bothers her because that man can operate in masculinity which she doesn't have. Witches do emasculation rituals, put clothes on a male doll and then strip them off and burn them. That's stealing the masculinity of a man. They hate the masculinity because they have to submit to it according to God. And Jezebel don't submit to nobody. She don't even submit to the God she worships. So in a lot of cases, fathers lose out when their son gets him a jizzy. Yeah, it just happens. So, what is honor? First, honor is high respect, esteem, privilege, regard with great respect, fulfill an obligation to keep an agreement. It's distinction, recognition, privilege, prestige, all of these things. The Bible said, honor your father and mother. So honoring your father is treating him with high respect. What if he don't deserve it? You can't judge that. God, amen. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I be done preached this whole thing without the slides. So many today do not even understand the importance of honoring their parents. This is a commandment with promise. And your entire, look at somebody say entire. Your entire life's outcome hinges upon it. Your entire life, the outcome of your life hinges upon your relationship with your parents. You don't have to agree. But God tells you, train up a child in the way he should go. You'll guarantee his success.
That's right.
Ain't that what the Bible said? That's a guarantee. The Bible says that. So that means that that child's success hinges upon you. Honor thy father and mother, Deuteronomy 5 and 16, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be what? Prolonged, but not just prolonged, and that it may go what?
Well.
Man. It may go well with you. So you need to honor your father and mother so that it'll go well with you in the land which the Lord thy God has given thee. Honoring your father is a whole different situation because the honor you have for him will be the honor you keep for God. No, you can't separate the two. Oh, I love God. You love your father? No, I hate him. Then you don't love God. I'm close to God. Me and God. You close to your father? Well, not really. Well, how close are you to God? Are you using your earthly energy like you using the spiritual energy? Like you going after God? Are you going after your father like that?
Say it, preacher.
Telling the truth. Oh, I came to preach today. Y'all see the suit? I ain't wearing no suit and not preaching. Now that would be an oxymoron. I'm at the point of my life. I'm at, and I know 55 ain't old. Amen. It's not. It ain't old, is it, Renetta? It ain't old. Yeah, we ain't old. But 55 is not old, but I'm at this point of my life where I'm settled and satisfied with what God has given me to do. So a lot of faces and folk and attitude and huffing and puffing and backbiting and lying and cheating behind my back, a lot of that stuff just bumps right off me. It just bounces. Man, you'll say something stupid and I say, boy, that was stupid. I leave y'all in here on Sunday. because I got to make sure I'm doing what I'm preaching, so I don't have time for you when I leave here. Amen. Not that I forget about you. No, I love y'all. But man, how you handle what I'm preaching? Ain't like I'm lying. Ain't like I got the elephant in here. I'm serious. No, I'm not trying to entertain you. So you need to listen and apply it, because it's going to help you. Just like it helps me and everybody else that decides to apply it. So your earthly example of honoring authority is the way you will honor and view God as your heavenly Father. Amen. I can always tell when somebody is lying about how close to God they are, because they don't have no respect for authority. You don't have no respect for God's authority? You're not close to Him. How are you? How do you do that? How do you honor Him and in secret you just float your feet, never touch the ground in your secret place? You just... And soon as you come down and put your shoes back on, you can't honor the authority. You can't. Somebody's lying. 1 Corinthians 15 and 46 just breaks it down. It said, howbeit that that not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. So you got to get the natural right. You had a relationship with God before there was a Bible. We did as humans. We had a relationship with God just being human. Yeah, just being human. Your father don't have to be saved for you to honor him. What are you talking about? That's biological. And they can look at your cells under a microscope, even if you're not saved. And the effects of your father's behavior and your relationship can affect your cell structure. What's going on in your cells? How you metabolize? All of that stuff. Your immune system can be suppressed because you're angry and wrathful. That's biological. Can I keep going? Amen. I give my testimony all the time, but me and my daddy, we had a terrible relationship. We wasn't doing good. And that went on for a long time, but the preacher came to me and said, man, God got something bigger than you can even imagine planned for you. I said, but he ain't doing none of it until you go repent to your father. Yeah, that's what he told. He said, there ain't nothing happening. Nothing happening until you go to your daddy. Yeah. And I went to him. And he put myself in a position where he could take care of me. We did everything in reverse. I went back to almost childhood. Whatever. Because I didn't know I only had 5 years left with him. So I didn't know. But I knew what God wanted me to do. And I had to go get close to him and repent to him. Was it all my fault? Does that matter? That's my father. I got one. Yeah, this is a different kind of Father's Day message. When you carry this disdain, hatred, and malice and anger towards your earthly father, when you carry this in your heart, you will struggle to sit under and endure sound doctrine taught by an authority. Yeah, that's why you have a problem listening to me. You have a problem with me that I don't know about, where you think I don't know about. But that problem stems from the disdain and hatred and malice and anger you have toward your earthly father. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Folk be wilding out on me, and I be like, bruh, I ain't do nothing to you. I ain't know you. Like, you taking out your frustration with your father on me. Yeah. And then they can't sit through anybody teaching sound doctrine because sound doctrine covers order. Who taught order in the Bible? Who taught the order? Paul. Paul taught the church, the order for the church and the home. Paul taught that. This is why so many people today have a problem with Paul. They call it Paulism, anti-Paulism. This is their logo. It's a real thing. Let me see if I can make this work. There we go. Yeah, so that, that's, oh, that's a lot of work. I ain't using this no more. Stretch back, looking forward. Oh, if I point it up here, let me see. Okay, Eddie, see, that's why Eddie is Eddie. Thank you, sir. Thank you. But anti-Paul, they call it anti-Paulism. They don't like him because they cannot receive his position as a male figure commanding the order of God in the earth. So they just leave him out. So the black Hebrew Israelites, we ain't going to use the whole New Testament. Because Paul brought order. And we all being taken care of by a woman. So they can't do Paul's order. Women pastors. Paul is anti-Paul is where Paul was a chauvinist. Really? The dude that wrote almost a whole New Testament that you preach from?
Yeah.
Do you preach from it? You preach from it. But you get to pick and choose which parts? Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over a man. That means you can't get up in church and preach to men. That's what Paul said. The same Paul that you quote with all the other stuff. Get happy, go to bucking like a donkey on the other stuff he said.
Preach this thing.
But this part, maybe we need to take another look at it because now it's a little antiquated. It's a little outdated. What? Well, what about the rest? Does Romans 10 and 9 still work? If you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that God raised his life, you shall be saved. Are we saved? Was Paul right there? Did Paul say that? Yeah, I'm going down the line. This long hair on these men. Braids and beads and slingable hair. Hot slingable hair. That's rebellion. I grew my hair out just like that. Because I was mad at a pastor and a church. No pictures exist. Ain't that right, Elder Willie? But you remember it, don't you? You remember that. But the no pictures. See how God did? He didn't let nobody capture that rebellious moment I had. My daddy wouldn't even let me come over there. You ain't my son no more. Slinging hair. Braids and no. See, Paul said, doth not nature. Now, you can say what you want about the times, the dates, the nature is older than all of us.
Yes, it is.
Don't let me have to call her mother. That's why they get so mad when you question the hair. Well, Samson had long hair. Bro, do you want to die like Samson? And Samson had no choice. His mama, the angel told them that a razor can't touch his head from birth. because he took the Nazirite vow, which means he's unkept and ashamed. That's what it means. That's the Nazirite. The vow of the Nazirite is ashamed. So when a man's hair is long, the Bible said it's shame. I go deeper. The one that kept his hair and cut it and sold it and kept it long, that was Absalom.
That's right.
Was that in rebellion? That man tried to kill his father. So that's what we do at ABC. We cut our hair because the Bible tells us to have our hair cut, because nature teaches us that's our gender marker. That's how we know the male from the female. You coming in with long hair and earrings, bro, I don't know what you got under your clothes. We're doing what the Bible say. Can we do what the Bible say? Well, Pastor, you make people uncomfortable. People might not come. People might not come. Okay. I was making sure people was back there. Amen. Amen. Boy, this is some foolishness. I ain't listening to nothing nobody looking like that say, that boy right there. Bro, you can't tell me now. Let me tell me about the herbs and the healthy foods and stuff. Brother, go get a haircut. You look zesty. But the whole feminist movement, emasculating the men movement, all of this stuff goes against Paul's teachings. Paul kept the balance to keep the men the men, the women the women. He kept the genders where they operated in their abilities. That makes the church stronger. That makes the home stronger. That makes us all stronger. It's all father hatred, man. That's what it is. You got a problem with your daddy, so now you're changing the way you look. Second Timothy 4:3, for the time will come. It should say, for 2025 will come. When they will not endure. Somebody's mad right now and never coming back because of hair. When all you gotta do is cut it. Hey, let me show you a magic trick. If you cut it, then we won't bother you no more. Yeah. Ring. It's a magic trick. We got barbers in here. For the time will come. The time will come. When they won't endure sound doctrine. But after their what? What they want to do. After what they want to do, they're going to go find people to teach what they want to do. They're going to heap to themselves teachers, having an engineer. They're going to go find somebody that says it's okay. Don't look too long. That's the new IG girls. They look like that. She looked like Baphomet. Jezebel comes to destroy order and cause chaos by demeaning the man and controlling his position as the head of the woman. Even in homes where the woman knows the truth of this, some ABC homes, the Jezebel spirit will cause her to manipulate, control, and even hinder the status of the man in the home to where he can't do nothing without asking her permission. Can I go to the car now? Yeah. Now take my purse. I gotta carry it. You take it. I'm gonna slap it out your hand if I see it. Don't walk by me, bro. No, you cannot. No. I mean, what's wrong with you? You can't do that here. That ain't your purse. I can't explain it, Landon. There's just something wrong with that. So the women know. They know. Ooh, my voice is just cracking. Because they do. But they're going to hinder the man's status. They see him making friends and getting relationships and stuff, and don't nobody like them. Look, y'all, nobody can like Jezebel. She's unlikable. That's an unlikable woman. She's going to have trouble being liked. So she don't want a husband getting spotlight or attention and stuff because she can't get it. So she'll try to even take his. Come as a package if you want to talk to him. You got to talk to both of us. I know women like that. They get their husband's phones and texts like they're their husband. Now that's the most witchy thing you can. That's the most witchy thing you can do. They send email, text, everything in the name like they are. You talking to somebody as your husband. And they don't know. You aren't the first person to do that. You know who did that? Jezebel! The Bible said when she wanted Naaman's garden, she wrote letters in her husband's name. Yes. Faked them. Right. Used his authority to have that man killed.
That's right.
Boy, I'm preaching it here. I might have to charge for this video. No, I'm just playing. Amen. So even in homes where women know the truth, they you know. 2 Kings 9:7 says, and thou shalt, that this is how God felt. You're going to have to smite Ahab, thy master. So he says, thou shalt smite the house of Ahab. So let's back up a little bit. Ahab is the father. Jezebel is the wife. But because of what they've been doing, God is smiting what? The whole house. Jezebel gets the whole house in trouble. That I may avenge the blood. Somebody's like, this is supposed to be a Father's Day message. Well, Ahab did have kids. So he can avenge the blood of my servants and prophets and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. So because of what this woman did, the whole house has to go down. Not just the house they're in, but all the children have to die. Yeah, they killed all the children. Jezebel is a master manipulating spirit which comes to throw whole families into turmoil and disparity. She looks for men. That's why, you know, you just can't meet men in the club. I mean, women in the club. You can't meet, you better pray about who you meeting. Amen. Because Jezebel is looking for men that are angry with or wrathful toward their fathers. She needs that in them. Because that way she can comfort him and keep him from his authority. This helps her to turn him against male authority and good leaders so he will obey her. Not just obey her, but obey her only. Only. She takes his masculinity. and uses it to turn her whole family against male leadership. The kids are watching. I know I'm preaching. Like, thank you. I mean, folk don't. I got videos about this. This is not new. It's just reiteration. I've already said it. Just like Jezebel's home in the Bible, things may appear successful on the outside. It's the king's house. It's a palace. Servants, money. They looking like they got it going all the way on. But inwardly, the family is full of disorder, disdain, and even hatred for male headship. Jezebel hates male authority because it is God ordained and wasn't given to her. 2 Kings tells us, for the whole house of Ahab shall what?
Perish.
And I will cut off from Ahab him that pisseth against the wall. That's the children. Amen. I remember my old pastor. He tried to quote this scripture. He just couldn't say it. Say it, Pastor. Ain't no cuss word. So we're going to stop right here and just let y'all read silently. Now let's talk about the little kids. You know, kids pee on the wall. Is pee better? Okay. He said, yeah. And him that is shut up and left in Israel. So Ahab is going to perish, and then I'm going to cut off all his children because of what his wife did. So wait a minute. The king is going to perish. But the kids got to go too? Well, the kids go when the home is out of order. Yeah. Yeah. If kids are sitting back watching who's the leader, they're going to ask some questions when it's time for them to move home. Can I keep preaching in here? Y'all all right? Amen. That's what you come for, the truth, right? Amen. Yeah, I'm still on Jersey. I got to do this. Jezebel makes her home a place of what?
Gossip
and talebearing. To constantly point out the flaws and errors in others. She don't know why she's doing it. She just knows she got a big mouth and can't stop talking about people's business in front of her kids. She don't know why she's doing it, but there's a reason she's doing it. She don't know why, but the spirit of Jezebel does. That's intentional. You know, you got to make your kids leave the room. Even talk about something important. Y'all step out. Y'all, you know, you can't have your kids around while you're talking about church folk. Then they got to go play with the church folk kids. They got to go to the church. You're dogging the pastor out. Then they got to sit here while I'm preaching. And you know what? They ain't looking at me like, no, they looking at you like, why you here? You a jive parent. Because if any of my friends was acting like this, I'd have a problem. Yeah, so she makes her home gossip, tale-bearing, constantly pointing out the flaws and errors. That's for a reason. This causes children to view the issues in others as worse as their own issues. That's why she does it. That's why Jezebel wants it. Because if I can make everybody else look bad, then the kids are going to start feeling like, well, everybody's worse than me. That's one reason, too. It causes them to take a position against their father when they err or are wayward. So the father has to live a flawless life. He can't make a mistake, an error, or nothing. Or the kids, they're going to deuce him. Yeah. You know, Jezebel sit around, why these bills ain't paid? And the kids, yeah. When you gonna pay the bills? Ooh,
Something just, I felt something in my body. You felt that? That just felt. It didn't feel right. That was just something. That made me want to snatch somebody. Just for me saying that. But yeah, they do that. Mama, we hungry. Where we going to eat? Well, your daddy, I mean. Yeah, yeah. All of this is for a reason. You think you just doing it? You think you just got a bad attitude? And you just a stank person? No. Jezebel's using you. Because he wants those kids to grow up without respect for male authority. They won't go to church. They won't receive it. They'll be immune to truth. Why would I listen to that when I heard my parents sit under it and dog it out all the time? So you take a position against your own father. And that's what she wants. That's what Jezebel wants. Without even considering their own failures. So now, your daddy can't fail, but you can. Go up to a bum on the street. Bruh, man, won't you just go talk to your daddy? I ain't talking to him. You know what he did to me? Bruh, you a bum. Look what you doing to your... You a bum. We growing up, we didn't have nothing. When you was growing up? Or now? Right, because I do see you, you know, in our neighborhood, they stand under the no soliciting inside. They prop up against that like that. So they take a position against their father and all male leaders. Once they do this, they will become what? Unteachable. And will dishonor all male leaders that they find fault in. So once they... I know I'm preaching. Especially their fathers. Proverbs 26 and 22. The words of a talebearer are as what? That's the snake. That's the picture of the snake. You got bit by a snake. And they go down into where? God showed me something about this. Talebearers, it goes down in the innermost parts of their own bellies. Two. And here are the children. Children will always outsource their identity to avoid being like their own parents when the Jezebel spirit is controlling their father. That's why Jezzy wants control of the father, because now the kids got to change into something else. Homosexuality, lesbianism, promiscuity, self-augmentation, self-mutilation, and any other types of identity edits are adopted by children because they grew up seeing and hearing about the weakness of their father. Yeah, look at him. Magic Johnson, that dude tall as you. Marlon Wayans, that's a girl. Was. It's his daughter. Was. And Zaya gonna be about 6'7". Yeah. Girls tatting themselves all up. Weed smoking. Braids, bead. All of this is decorating yourself out of wrath and trying not to be like the one you need to be talking to. Ephesians 6 and 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God punishes dishonoring of a father by allowing people to reap what they are sowing. That's your punishment. That's your punishment. When you dishonor your father, your children gonna dishonor you. That's your punishment. And it's gonna hurt. But you won't be able to blame him. Yeah. Your son ain't gonna want no parts of your life. Yeah. Because he don't know what that looks like. He saw your dishonor. Children will grow up with no honor for their father because you didn't have it for your father. Issues in our bodies and in our children can come as a result of dishonoring our father. We can cause confusion in our homes when we treat other men better than we do our own fathers. And our children see you treating other men better than you do your own father. They view that as hypocrisy, which leads to dishonoring them. So you, amen, you can't get a surrogate. You can't replace your daddy. Proverbs 15 and 5, a fool despises the father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. Y'all enjoying this? What kind of Father's Day is this? This is a good Father's Day. Honor your father. That's all you got to do. Honoring a father is done by respecting his authority. In case you didn't know. I mean, you got to do everything he say and all of that, but man, you got to at least make him feel good about having you. See, they don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. I want to hear that. When Father's Day comes, man, I better have some stuff in there in the kitchen. Is it in there? Boy, I better see some stuff. I know Landon go take care of his daddy. I know Jonathan go take. He driving there. He going to go get me something. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. And it's automatic because I love them. They love me. We have a relationship. Y'all, if I didn't have a relationship with my sons, I would not have this mic in my hand. I'm like that. My sons ain't with me. I don't want to be here. I'm like that. Ain't good enough to see you doing good. I need to see my family doing good. Matters to me. That's the most important thing on earth to me. I'll stop everything for them. That's what I want to see because that's my report card. Get up here and get views on the internet and folk know my name and it wouldn't mean nothing without my kids. And they know I'm not just saying this. You know I'm not just saying this. He know. It's a fact. Think you better. You think, you know, I just think I'm loved. Can I be loved? In other words, and that's why I ain't got to have the world. I don't care what the world say about me. That ain't where my love comes from, ain't it? Honoring a father is done by respecting his authority, forgiving his what? Oh, gosh. Now, you got to forgive the errors because men error. Amen. Amen. Wives, your husband is going to error. We don't get everything right. And it's good for kids to know that so they can actually feel like they can live up to you. If you are. Amen. Amen. So it's y'all want to hear something dumb? These folks won't forgive their fathers, and their fathers made errors, made mistakes, did stuff wrong. They won't forgive them, but they love all the characters in the MCU and the DC, and every one of those superheroes is flawed and messed up. Every one of them. You spend all your time watching them, just fascinating. Ooh, look at this superpower. Ooh, he a Red Hulk. But in reality, you want everybody flawless. Can't nobody make a mistake. Can't nobody struggle with childhood issues and trauma and fight. Like Elder taught about struggles, and you know, it's good to struggle because struggling means that you are fighting. That's in the definition. It's okay to struggle. Nobody got it all the way right. Quit acting like that. But you can't give your daddy a pass? And you watching Captain America? Batman lying to everybody. He lie every day. My daddy, he just be lying. Bruce Wayne, who? Oh, Lord, have mercy. So in other words, no matter how flawed your dad may be, you cannot deny the fact that he gave you your greatest gift. What's the greatest gift you got? What is it? Somebody say it. Salvation. No, you can't have salvation without life. You got to have life. You got to be born again. Don't you have to be born to be reborn? What a doctor. Don't you have to be born to be reborn? So he gave you the greatest gift. Life. Every father deserves honor for giving you life and you growing to this point. Amen. What point? The point of hearing this message. Because if you're hearing this message, that's it. Now you got to do something. Just like I had to do something. If I wanted the blessings of the Lord, if I wanted to do what God wanted me to do, I had to go do something. To meet my father where he was, and I couldn't bring up nothing he had done. Because it wasn't about that. It's about what I had done and what I need to do. If I hadn't done that, I would have missed the few years I had with him. Just five. But I listened to the preacher because I have a respect for God's anointed. And I knew this man. Why would he tell me this? This man's trying to help me. Did I want to hear it? No. But I respected him. I said, man, I'm not finna play with God. I only get to live one time. Sure, there may have been issues and failures and deficits and struggles, but he is worthy of your honor by default. God made it that way. Listen, but this is why God made it. God made it that way so that we ourselves would not lose our honor because of our own errors. So God did that for you. Matthew 5 and 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall what? Summary! It's a good suit message. Yes. 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 It was. Amen. Keep wearing the suits. Okay. I don't know about that. But fathers have the power and authority from God to bless and curse their children. Why are you messing with somebody that can bless and curse you? That person I ain't messing with him. He has the power to bless and curse. My life ain't cursed. I rebuke the curse. I mean, look at somebody and say, order is order. Man, some stuff God is just hardcore about. And one of them is order. He can't defy his order because he is order. So once it's set, it can't be changed. What is it going to change into? Order is order. Fathers also have the power to influence the future of their children's behaviors by the way their children feel toward them. Man was created as the head of the woman before there ever was a religious belief system. Yeah. This appointment of headship is biological, psychological, and spiritual. It cannot be undone or defied without consequence. You keep acting like a man if you want to, female, your body's going to break down. You keep being Jezzy if you want to, the Bible said you're going to be in your sick bed. In Revelations, it's just gonna happen. It's guaranteed. Because you aren't built for. Do you know you're built for certain things? You ain't built to throw logs on the back of a truck. We can do everything a man can do. No. You know, and the funny thing is, our world. You know, they got the dudes running in the girl Olympics or the girl race. The dude, and he just smoking everybody. You can't beat a dude. You're not built to beat him. You know, when children dishonor their father, they shorten their days on earth. This means that the way they feel about their father will manifest in some way that hinders their health, growth, and maturation. You have one father. Look at somebody and say, one father. You cannot substitute him with a stepfather, father-in-law, spiritual father, or male mentor. Nope. His place is secured naturally and will never be forfeited. God will never change his mind and tell you he's not your father. He's going to always be. He can't be replaced. You have his physical image. And many of his traits reside in you to remind you of who he is to you. And by God's power, he gave you life, and you can receive a blessing from him or a curse from him. Sure, there are a lot of deadbeat fathers. Issue-oriented men that do not know how to be a good father. But the Bible never said he had to be a good father to deserve honor. The word just said honor him. This means that in spite of his error and flaws, we must honor our fathers and give them passes for their issues. Pass. Give them a pass for his issues. Passes. Give him a pass. You know why? Because you're going to need a pass. You're going to need a pass. My daddy looked at me one time. We was fighting. And he said, bro. I said, daddy, I'll never need you. He said, you're going to need me before I need you. And I did. From that point when I said that, my life went downhill. I was living in cars, vacant apartments, on the street, bumming. I was a bum. Because that curse came on me. He was a man of God too. I can't talk to him like that. My life went down so quick. I couldn't rub two nickels together. That's what the old folk used to say. I don't know what that means. But maybe that was back when nickels was a lot of money. I don't know. And God wasn't going to do nothing with me until I got that curse off of me. I don't even believe my daddy put it on me. Well, yeah, he did. When he said that. You going to need me. God made me need him. So after all, we need passes as well. We cannot measure his flaws as greater or blame our issues solely on him, because sin is sin and we all need the mercy of God to help us. The issues you have now that may be affecting your family is no different than what he had to deal with in his own family. That's what made him deadbeat. I don't know. We are products of our upbringing. But at some point, someone has to change things. Isn't that what we come here for? This comes by doing what God says and not what Jezebel has sown into our world. We must rebuke the Jezebel spirit and stop the demeaning of fathers. Amen. Women, pray that in your prayer time. Rebuke this. Every woman has to do it. You got to do it because of Eve. You have to do it. It'll get you when you think it ain't got you. Ask your husband, do he think it's got you? And don't scurry him. You think it got me?
No. Everything's good.
Oh. Ain't no all. Jive. Yeah, but we're all products of that. So we're products of our upbringing, but at some point someone has to change it. This comes by doing what God said. We must rebuke the spirit of Jezebel, stop demeaning our fathers. We must love and honor them regardless of their faults and show them respect even when they do not respect themselves. Those that learn, listen, those that learn this will extend their days and have a better family lineage and heritage. Those that defy this and do not properly honor their fathers and authorities will have broken bodies, broken homes, broken children, and broken legacies. You know, some stuff God puts in Genesis just because it's the start. And I love the way he put this in Genesis, what I'm about to read, because it was the restart. So this is the beginning again. Noah, them coming off the ark. Second beginning of everything. And the Bible says in Genesis 9 and 20, Noah began to be a husbandman and he planted a vineyard. And, you know, he got to thinking, you know, ain't nobody here. Everybody's God. Everything is God. Now I have the burden of making sure everything comes back and is in the right place. Spent 100 years building an ark and everybody was talking about me, dogging me out, throwing, you know, superpower beams and everything. Because, you know, they was all antediluvian folks had superpowers. Noah ducking, dogging. I don't know what he had to do. He probably had the real Marvel and DC folks with him, around him. But Noah had been through a lot. Been on the boat. It's a lot. So Noah said, you know what? I just need to feel good for just a little. Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just for a little while. I just need just a little taste. Can I get a little taste? So the Bible said, Noah drank of wine and got drunk. Got butt naked drunk. That's drunk. That's that next level. I mean, but look at his circumstance, man. That's hard. You've been cooped up on that boat with them folks and animals and making noises and it was never quiet. You know, he probably is looking around. Lord, I'm glad we didn't have no windows on this ark. Because I would jump out of one of them. No, it was window. I think it was a window on the ark. But anyway, I'm just being funny. But yeah, so Noah just, you know, let's give him a pass, man. That's what I'm thinking. He's drunk. Then Ham. Gotta get my video. Which one is that? 14? Truth Bound Hip Hop 14. I don't have time to go into the jiveness of Ham, but there's a whole lot of it. But Ham, the father of Canaan, saw his nakedness, saw his naked father. He didn't do nothing to him. It wasn't no gay looking. All the stuff they're trying to pull out of this scripture is not in the Bible. The Bible just said it's bad enough he sat there and looked at his nakedness. It wasn't the fact that he was looking at him like, ooh. It was the fact that he was looking at him and didn't do nothing about it. Okay? He looked at him and went and told. So this is the first gossip. First talebearer. He went outside, the Bible said, and told his brothers, man, y'all daddy is in there wilding. Passed out naked. And his brothers immediately in their minds just thought, this is the man that just saved the world. He saved our lives and allowed us to, he gave us life. I'm not finna go in here and make fun of him. The Bible says Shem and Japheth took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders and walked backwards and covered up their father's nakedness. They protected their father's sins. They didn't write no book about it. They didn't make a post about it. They didn't go online and tell the world how jive their daddy was for getting drunk. No. The Bible said they covered him, walked backwards. It says their faces were backwards so they wouldn't even see it. You got a problem with something your daddy said? What he won't do that you think he ought to do? Running out telling folk, my daddy, that. You really? You're telling it? Noah woke up and he knew what Ham had done. He said, curse be Canaan. Now, this is the most powerful curse because this is the curse of the rebirth or the new beginning. And he cursed the whole lineage of people who became the enemies of God from that point on. Yes, all of God's enemies that they had to fight to get to the promised land and wherever else came from Ham. Yes, sir. Came from Canaan. So he cursed Ham's lineage. That's why he symbolically cursed his son. Because I'm cursing your lineage. You're going to produce a bunch of crazy folks that's going to go against the God of your brothers. And many of us, many, are suffering because of curses. And we gotta honor our fathers. Everyone stand to your feet. I was talking to my dad the night before he died. I didn't know the stuff I know now like I know it. But I did want him to bless me. I wanted him to tell me something that made me, and I didn't know he was going to die that night. I knew he was dying. But I needed him to tell me something to assure me that he had faith or confidence that I could take care of everything. So I told him, I said, Dad, I know you're tired of struggling and fighting. I said, so you have to worry about nothing. I'll take care of it. I'll take care of it. In my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know how. But I said, man, you don't have to worry about it. I'm going to take care of mother. I'm going to take care of everything. I'm going to take care of everything. You know what he told me? He said, you can. You can. And then he died overnight, but he died knowing that I could. He knew I could. That was my blessing. That blessed me because I did. Did I take good care of your mama? Yes, ma'am. I did. It was rough, tough, but I did because I had my father's blessing. Amen. So I don't know what your situation is with your family or nothing, but if you just want to come up and I'm going to pray for fathers and mothers and relationships with fathers and the whole shebang, come on up and we're going to make sure that we get what we need, get in the place we need with our, man, we're not gonna let the devil have this little opening. Parents, I don't know. Your own home, I don't know. Your relationship, whatever, just come on up. We're gonna believe God and get God's blessing over our lives. I hear the Lord saying, fight for him. That's what I just heard. And I believe it was the Lord. Some of y'all gotta just fight for him. The last thing you want a father or a son wants to see is you fighting for everything else but them. Working hard to drive this and live here. Working hard, fighting hard to do that. But you ain't fighting for them. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. You gotta fight. Everyone bow your heads. Father God, I just thank you, Lord. God, I thank you for your word and the truth. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful, sweet atmosphere you've set in this place with a message so hardcore and edgy. But your presence is here because this means everything to you. This is what it's about. This is what life is about. This is all that is important in our existence. It's not money. It's not popularity. It's not fame. It's not career. This was what you made first. And so this is important. So I pray right now, whatever the need is, whether it's a father, whether it's a son, mother, daughter, husband, wife, whatever it is, honor our request. As we stand in your presence, honor our request. Where we need help, where we need your help, where we need your power, where we need your strength, where we need your courage, where we need your love, where we need your understanding. Honor our request. Mend that relationship. Fix that estranged relationship. Prepare his heart for my call. Prepare her heart for my call. Prepare me for their call. Prepare us so we can get this right before you come. It's important to you, Lord, and it's important to us. Heal, deliver, set free. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hug somebody and say, it's going to be all right. On your way to your seats, it's going to be all right. You came here, so it's going to be all right. God wanted you here. Lord, I may never get 100% of my father's attention. Ask God for 5, 10, 15, 20. Give me something.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.